Chapter 3, The Night Before. The dark, inky water of the English Channel slapped gently against the sides of the PT boats. The air was thick, heavy with the weight of unspoken fears and the metallic scent of cold steel. Huddled masses of American soldiers, faces illuminated by sporadic beams of light from above, sat in tension-filled silence, the growling engines drowning out any semblance of conversation. On one PT boat, Corporal Joe Mitchell found himself squished between Private Thompson and Sergeant Riley. The latter broke the silence, taking a deep breath. "Never thought I'd find myself back in Europe, gearing up for another damned battle." Private Thompson nodded, his voice trembling slightly. "This ain't like anything we've done before, Sarge." Joe, clutching the locket that contained pictures of his family, murmured, "We've got each other's backs, just like always." Riley scoffed, trying to inject some humor to dissipate the dread. "Hell, if this boat ride gets any longer, I might just swim to France." Thompson chuckled. "You do that, Sarge, and the Germans will surrender out of pure shock." Over the nervous banter, a distant humming noise was growing louder. Air support, the roar of B-17 bombers soaring above them, a reminder that D-Day was not just theirs to fight. Joe looked up and whispered more to himself than to the others. "Godspeed to us all." On the German side of the English Channel, the immense fortified bunkers loomed large against the backdrop of the night sky. Inside one, the echo of footsteps, hurried whispers, and the distant radio communications filled the atmosphere. The concrete walls, though thick and protective, could not shield the soldiers from the anxiety that bubbled within. Karl Müller, alongside his comrades Dietrich and Friedrich, surveyed the maps spread out before them. The intelligence reports indicated a massive offensive, but no one truly knew the scale of the invasion that awaited them. Dietrich, tapping a cigarette out of its packet, mumbled, "They're coming, aren't they?" Friedrich, ever the pessimist, replied, "They'd be fools to try. These bunkers, the artillery, the defenses, we're impenetrable." Karl, gazing out of the small window towards the vast, unknowable sea, replied quietly, "Yet they will come, and we'll be waiting." There was a heavy pause before Dietrich, attempting levity, said, "At least the weather is on our side. Bad luck for them if they're sailing tonight." Friedrich smirked. "Bad luck indeed. Do you remember that storm back in 42? I thought the sea would swallow us whole." Karl nodded. "War is as much about battling nature as it is the enemy, but we have the home advantage." As the hours wore on, the trio began sharing tales of home, as if reminding each other of what they were fighting for. Karl spoke of Hamburg, the rhythmic clangs from his father's blacksmith shop, and the comforting aroma of his mother's bread. Each story, each memory, weaving a tapestry of a life beyond war. Back on the PT boat, Joe, looking at the endless horizon, recalled stories his father told him about World War I. "Dad used to say that in the trenches, it wasn't the cold or the rats that got to you, it was the fear." The German bunkers were built to withstand the force of many explosives. Solid concrete walls, sandbags placed at strategic points, and reinforced metal doors. Yet inside there was no fortification strong enough to protect the soldiers from the storm of anxiety and tension that brewed. Private Friedrich leaned against the cold, damp wall, flicking his lighter open and closed. The dim glow momentarily illuminated the faces of his comrades. "I heard they're bringing in the big guns. The Americans, I mean," murmured Corporal Lenz, his eyes shadowed and gaunt from the lack of sleep. Private Klaus, a young soldier with a shock of blonde hair, replied, "The Yanks have guts coming here. Our defenses are impenetrable." Sergeant Adler, the most experienced among them, grunted, "Underestimate them, and that'll be our last mistake." The room fell silent, save for the sound of the ocean waves crashing, muffled by the thickness of the bunker. After what felt like hours, Friedrich spoke, "You ever wonder if they're just like us? Scared, missing home." Lenz looked at him, surprised. "Thinking about the enemy, Friedrich?" Friedrich hesitated. "Just a thought, that's all." Adler took a deep breath. "In battle, it's kill or be killed. Doesn't matter how alike we might be. Tomorrow, it's them or us. Meanwhile, a world apart yet so close, the Americans were aboard their PT boats, the hum of the engine and the gentle rock from the waves their only comfort in the dark expanse. Private Thompson was checking and rechecking his gear, his nervousness evident. Beside him, Sergeant Mack, an older, battle-hardened veteran, was cleaning his rifle with methodical precision. Corporal Jones, looking over the side, spoke softly, "Hard to believe, tomorrow this water will be red." Lieutenant Daniels, the officer in charge, tried to keep the morale up. "We've got a job to do, boys. Remember your training, stick to your units, and we'll see this through." Private Green, a wiry young man from Brooklyn, piped up, "You ever think of what the Germans are doing right now, sir?" Daniels looked at him. "Planning, I imagine, just like us." Sergeant Mack looked up. "They're just men, like us. They bleed the same." He paused, his voice taking on a distant tone. "Had a buddy in the last war. Fought against the Germans. Said they sang songs, just like we did before going over the top." The soldiers looked around at each other. The same thought was mirrored in their eyes. How different could the enemy really be? Thompson broke the momentary silence. "My girl, Jenny, she writes to me every week. Tells me to come home safe. I don't want to disappoint her." Daniels clasped his shoulder. "You focus on that, Thompson. Focus on going back to Jenny." The PT boats powered through the waves, the white crests glittering under the moonlight. The night was eerily calm, a stark contrast to the chaos they all knew awaited them with the dawn. Back in the German bunker, as Friedrich stared at the endless expanse of the beach, he whispered more to himself than anyone else. "My sister, Lena, she's getting married next month. Promised her I'd be there." Adler, overhearing, responded, "Then make sure you are, Friedrich." The ambiance on both fronts was thick with tension, each side knowing that the next day would change the course of their lives. Uncertainty, hope, fear, and duty all mixed into a potent cocktail of emotions. As the hours ticked by, the Germans fortified their defenses, their weapons at the ready. The lights of the American Armada could be seen in the distance, a silent testament to the impending storm. On the PT boats, the Americans checked their gear, wrote last-minute letters home, and tried to get some rest, the hum of the engines a constant reminder of the mission that lay ahead. Both sides, though enemies, shared the same sky, the same fears, and the same wishes. As dawn approached, the world held its breath, waiting for the moment that would define a generation.